done this weekend. Amen. The Lord has shown forth His glory, shown forth His presence. And we've got something to thank Him for. We've got something to praise Him for. Amen. What an encounter of God we have had. Amen. And I appreciate, once again, I told your pastor, this revival we've encountered does not come just because we decided to show up and call a weekend revival. But it came through preparation. Some of you have been praying. Some of you have been seeking God's face. Some of you have taken time to prepare for this. And there's nothing greater than a pastor or an evangelist can appreciate than that, than people that will take time to prepare an atmosphere where God can have His way. Because I'll just be straight up honest with you. There's some places I go in and I feel like I'm hitting a brick wall. I'm not going to get anywhere. And then we may finally get somewhere by the last night. And by then, I'm ready to leave them and say goodbye. Oh, Lord, but I don't have to say that about this place. You are prepared and ready for God to move, and I truly appreciate that, allowing the Holy Spirit to have His way. Amen. Thank you, Pastor, once again for having me. It's been an honor to be here with the Biltmore Church and seeing all that God's doing. Amen. Continue on 100 years of great ministry, and it don't have to stop there. Amen. I believe it'll continue forward. I'm so glad to have my wife and my baby with me tonight. Glad that they were able to come along with me this evening. She's been spending time with her family at the Old Fort Church this weekend, and she's a mama's girl. So I said, spend time with your mama. And so that was, they had a good time there. And then between the time that I left Friday and came back, or Saturday, my son done fell and busted his nose. So anyhow, he's got a good old bruised up nose there. He's wide open, 2 years old. He'll be into anything, and he'll probably be out of here in just a few minutes. But anyway, he's wide open. We've got our hands full. Somebody said, your next one won't be that wild. I said, I don't know if I want to try to figure out. Amen. But nothing like a blessing of a child. Amen. Amen. Continue to worship this evening. I'm just going to stay with right where we've been at. I'm going to keep talking about the blood. Let's sing a little bit more about that tonight. Amen. Look at somebody, tell them, let's have church. Amen. Don't get quiet on me now. E flat. And I know it was the blood for me. But I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. 'Cause one day when I was lost, He died upon the cross. And I know it was the blood for me. Well, they nailed Him to a tree. They nailed Him to a tree. One day when I was lost, He died upon the cross, and I know it was the blood for me. Well, they put Him in a tomb. They put Him in a tomb. They put Him in a tomb for me. 'Cause one day when I was lost, He died upon the cross, and I know it was the blood for me. Well, He got up from the grave. He got up from the grave. He got up from the grave for me. One day when I was lost, He died upon the cross, and I know it was the blood for me. Well, He's coming back again. He's coming back again. He's coming back again. Was the blood for me? The blood, 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 the blood for me. One day when I was lost, He died upon the cross, and I know it was the blood for me. Well, the devil doesn't like it. The devil doesn't like it. The devil doesn't like it. Praise the Lord. One day when I was lost, He died upon the cross.
was the blood for me. Oh, yes, I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. One day when I was lost, he died upon the cross, and I know it was the blood for me. Yes, one day when I was lost, Jesus died upon the cross, and I know it was the blood for me. Oh, I know it was the blood for me. Oh, come on, somebody give me praise tonight. Hallelujah. The blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary, the blood that gives me strength from
tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God. Look at somebody, tell them the blood still works. Amen. Have you enjoyed all the music this week from your church folk? Amen. Haven't they done a wonderful job, this praise team, band, musicians? It takes work and a job to do that every service, and it'll take it out of you. I know of being part of a music program, it takes it out of you. And it'll do it to it, but thank God we got people that are willing and faithful. They give it all they've got, amen, to lead us into worship. I do want to mention, I kept meaning to bring them with me and forgot, but I do have several CDs available here in the foyer. They're just $10 a piece. Some of the songs on there I've written, some songs that some of a lady from our church has written, and then some are some songs that you know, some songs that I've sung this week. So they are available for $10 a piece, and if you would like to get one of those, it will go back into our ministry, and we'll appreciate that very much. I don't usually like saying a lot about it, and sometimes I just won't even bring them, and then the Lord will prick my heart and say there's somebody that needs it. So if you need it and you would like to be blessed by it, it's helped a tremendous amount of people just get through some hard times in their lives. Just songs on there that are anointed of God. We prayed the anointed on them, and that was our prayer, is that somebody would be blessed, somebody would be touched, somebody would be helped along life's way just to keep on going. I don't know about you. I'm just trying to make it to heaven. Amen. And that's what I want to do, is try to help somebody else make it to heaven. If you've got your Bibles, let's go to Jeremiah chapter 1, or Jeremiah chapter 23. We're in Jeremiah 1 this morning. I want to go to 23 this evening, and I feel like this is the message the Lord would have me leave with you. I believe this is what the Lord has been trying to speak to us this entire weekend. I believe there's been a theme this weekend. If there was a theme we could put on it, I would say, one, rekindle the flame. And number two, let everything else that's going on in your life be lifted from you, that you can go forward in the mighty name of Jesus. Don't let distractions, don't let problems weigh you down from doing what God's called you to do. Jeremiah chapter 23, and we're going to look at verse 1, and then we'll just go down to verse 4. And this is something the Lord placed in my heart. It's a word for the church as a whole, that I believe that what God is wanting to do in these last days. Jeremiah 23 and verse 1, if you've got it, shout amen. 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 It reads like this: Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people, you have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. I want us to focus in on verse 3. I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them, will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the anointing that's in this place, the anointing of God that we have felt in every service. I thank you, Lord, for faithful people that have been here every service, God, that have given forth worship, that have given forth time. Some have given forth money, God. Lord, just to sow a seed into what you're doing. And God, I believe you're going to give it back to them, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, Lord, shall men give unto their bosom. God, tonight I ask you, Lord, that this word would set a fire within us. For Lord, if all we did is come and shout and dance and jump around and got deliverance and we go back to the same bondage, Lord, the work that I've done this weekend and the work that we've done as a church is all in vain. But God, if somebody would take this fire, would take this anointing, and would go forward in their calling, God, it'll be worth it all. So God, we ask you to let that be accomplished in this place tonight, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Hallelujah. So I want to preach for just a few moments on this thought, gathering the remnant. And I believe this is something that God is wanting to do. I held a conference back in September. God laid on my heart to hold a conference geared toward young adults and youth, but at the same time, I wanted the churches abroad to come together. And I've been sharing this message as the Lord lays it on my heart, that God is wanting to send a revival. I truly believe that. God laid it in my soul. When I first started out evangelizing, people said, Adrian, you might as well just give up on the fact of going in full-time evangelism, because that's not going to happen. That day's over and done with. And you need to get something to back you up. You need something to, as a second hand, that if that don't work out, you got something to fall back on, because they said that's probably not going to work out for you in this day and time. And there was a place of discouragement that I preached about, that I went into some churches and would have paid somebody to say amen. Y'all remember me talking about that in a dry and dead season. But I've seen a shift in the church where there was a hunger. I've seen a shift within the last year or so where there's a hunger and a thirst, that people are tired of the same old, same old. They're tired of the ritualistic, traditional services. They want to see an all-out move of the Holy Ghost that just ain't about tradition, but that is about seeing the power and the presence of an almighty God. Hallelujah. There is a hunger. And God began to birth within me and say, revival is on the way. I am sending a revival. And as I begin to hear that from the Lord, I noticed other pastors and other evangelists and ministers that had a heart for revival. They begin to speak the same thing that God was giving them. And at that time, it didn't make sense. At that time, people said, no, there's no way. And sometimes people today will still say that. But I believe we are beginning to see it come to pass. I believe that pastors are beginning to see a hunger within their people. I believe pastor is finding a few people that'll get on fire for God. And all it takes is a few. Amen. And I began to talk to the Lord about this, and I said, but God, you know, there's just so few of us that still believe the uncompromised word of God. I said, Lord, there's still just a few of us, so few churches that still want the old-fashioned heaven-sent Holy Ghost fire of God. Lord, there's only a few of us that still want to see the anointing signs, miracles, and wonders. And the Lord said, exactly. He said, my revival's not coming to every church. Help me, Holy Ghost. This revival's not coming just to any old fly-by-night church that wants to do this, that, or the other to try to draw a crowd. The ones that's after it for titles and positions, the one that's after it for this, that, or the other. He said, my revival spirit, the anointing that I'm getting ready to send before I come again, is coming to my remnant. Those who have stuck true to the word of God. Those who have prayed without ceasing. Those who have said, you know what? We've not seen a Pentecostal outpouring in a while. We've not seen a revival outpouring in a while. But we're still praying for God to send forth his presence one more time in our midst. I come to encourage the Biltmore Church of God. God is not finished with you yet. I've come to encourage every person that's here tonight. You're here by assignment from God to hear from him, to know he's not finished with you yet. Preacher, keep on preaching. Singers, keep on singing. Sunday school teachers, keep on teaching, because it may seem like it's in vain now, but we're getting ready to walk into a season where we will see the glory of the Lord and begin to see the fruit of our labor. If you look at this passage, Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 1, you find where the Lord is rebuking pastors who have taken advantage of their role and became selfish within their desires and what they wanted, and they begin to hurt the flock of God. They begin to hurt God's people, and they begin to scatter them. And we've seen that within the church in the last however many years. Wherever there's people, there's problems. But there are pastors and ministers and so-called prophets and so-called ministers and evangelists that have taken advantage of their role and have taken advantage of God's people. And where they once had a call of God, now it's become nothing but a talent to them to get money out of people's pockets and use it for whatever they want to use it for. And it's put an ugly name on the church as a whole. You got people that are using different kinds of things and abilities and talents to try to lead people in a wrong direction. And so many people preaching false doctrine so that they can just keep the tithe payers, and so they can keep this one and they can keep that one. So many have abused their place. And not only that, but they go into churches and they hurt people rather than building people up. And they cut them down rather than building them up. And many people won't even walk back into a church again because of a pastor that abused his title, that abused his place of leadership. And there may be even some here tonight, I don't know, I'll be the first to say, there's nothing worse than a church hurt. And I've been hurt by people in the church. Thankfully, I've not been hurt, well, by my pastor. I've been hurt by other pastors. Not been hurt in that sense, and some of you may have. You know what it is to be hurt, but even being hurt by church leadership or somebody as a teacher or this or that or the other, being hurt in the church just seems to cut deep. That's because the strongest love is within the church. That agape love is a godly love. And when you get hurt in the church, it cuts deep. And it's hard to recover. It's hard to overcome that. And there's some people here tonight that maybe you've been hurt in a church once before and you've still not got over that thing. Some people I know within my own church family that something happened years ago at another church, and now they'll never join another church because what happened at that church. They'll never get active in a church again because of what happened many years ago. And there's many people that carry around hurt on their shoulders because of a church hurt. Yeah, it was church folk. It got me. That turned their back on me as soon as I started preaching. I told you I was backward and shy. I didn't want to preach. I didn't want to get up in front of people. Lord, that's not me. When God called me and he pricked my heart in a little quiet service, I was 9 years old. He said, I've called you to preach my word. And I said, Lord, I think you meant to get my buddy beside him because he's a loud mouth. He likes to talk, Lord. I'm not big on that. He likes to show out. God, I'm not all about that. I'd rather be in the background. And I struggled with that for 6 years, doing what God wanted me to do. And I finally stepped out and did what God wanted me to do, and I found out everybody's not in your corner. When you step out and do what God wants you to do, people will start getting jealous of you. People will start turning their back on you. And I had church folk that said they loved me, and then they all of a sudden they hated me and began to turn on me because this, that, or the other, and was going from church to church and place to place. And they'd skip from this church and they'd hop to that church, and their main desire was to get to the pastor and have the pastor and tell them all kinds of different rumors and lies about me. And I was having pastors call me saying, "I can't believe you said this about me and you did this about me." And I was getting blessed out by pastors everywhere that didn't even know me. I said, "Now, Lord, you called me to evangelize. I finally stepped out and did what you wanted me to do. I did my calling. I'm doing what I felt like you wanted me to do. And now doors are shutting in my face before I can even step foot in them. I said, God, I don't think this is your will after all." And I began to, the enemy started playing on my mind. He started using that against me. He said, "Look, you don't have no purpose in life. Look, your calling's over. Look, everything that you thought God had for you, it's not going to take place. That God called you at 9 years old, it's never going to happen because all these people that have come against you." I came into a deep, dark depression. And I'd go home from school, lock myself in the room, and I'd lay my head down and do everything I could to cry myself to sleep. 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, on till the next day, I'd stay in my room. Wake up the next day and stay in that depression. And eventually the enemy started playing suicidal thoughts. Said, "You're not worth it anymore. Your calling's never going to happen. You might as well just give up, throw in the towel. You might as well call it quits. You might as well say it's never going to happen." And the enemy finally got me so frustrated, I had a weapon in hand ready to take my own life and call it quits. I done made my mind up. And with that weapon in hand, I was ready to end it all. I was ready to give up on me, but God wasn't ready to give up on me. And when I was in the very act of taking my own life, the Holy Ghost came in that room and he said, "Adrian, what are you doing?" He said, "The people that have come against you did not call you. I called you. And if I called you, I'll open a door no man can shut." Hallelujah. Right then and there, I felt a load lift off of me. I put the weapon down that I was going to use, and I raised my hands to the Lord and said, "God, I don't understand what you're doing. I don't understand why you've let this take place. I don't know how you're going to work it out, but I take your word, and I believe it, God, that you're going to open a door that no man can get in the way of." Little did I know, 10 years later, I'd be in full-time ministry. Little did I know that I'd be preaching in hundreds of churches. Little did I know that God would have me in General Assembly speaking to 15,000 people. I couldn't see that far away because the enemy tried to use those people around me to destroy me and take me out. And if you're not careful, you can allow people to stop your calling. You can let people stop that anointing and that gift in your life. I've come to tell you, those people didn't call you. They're not worth your gift. They're not worth sitting down on God. Arise above your situation. Hold your peace and let God fight your battle. Hallelujah. Then God gave me some instruction in what I just told you. He said, "Now I need you to hold your peace and let me fight this battle." I said, "But God, you don't understand all they're saying about me. I got to fix this. God, you don't understand what all they've been telling about to people, this, that, and the other, that ain't true. I got to fix it." He said, "No, you don't." I said, "Hold your peace. Let me fight the battle." So I kept quiet. Still felt ashamed. Still felt worthless and useless. But I held my peace. I didn't ask or call one person to let me preach. I said, "God, if it's your will, I want you to put my name on whoever's heart that I need to preach at." God started opening doors. What long after that, those pastors that were calling and blessing me out, they said, "I know we've not talked in a long time." And all of them had to say this. They said, "We saw those people for who they really are. And I want to apologize for the things that I said and for taking their side on something that wasn't even true." I didn't have to say one word, Pastor. I didn't have to fix one thing. The Holy Ghost will fix it for you. If you'll just walk the walk, if you'll let your reputation do the talking, it'll take care of itself. Walk in that thing. And just walk in security knowing that God's got you covered. And that's what this talks about. It says, I'm going to gather my remnant. Those that have been hurt, those that have been abused, those that have been scattered abroad. I'm going to gather them back together and place them back in the fold. That's a place of security. And God wants to do that for some people in this house. I have felt so many in this house as I've been in these altars praying service after service. So many heavy laden. So many that are burdened. Some of you are carrying so many things and you feel out of place sometimes. You feel like everything's not ever going to come together. You feel you've been in that place of saying, God, when are you going to work it out? And today God says, I'm bringing you back to the place of security. The place of wholeness. The place that where you'll know I've got you covered. The place that you'll know that it's already taken care of. The place that you can declare that the struggle will not take me out. I've come to tell somebody in this house, it's time to quit hanging your head low and it's time to lift your head high. Know that you are a child of God. Know that you've been bought with a price. Oh, know that you've been purchased by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. It's time to quit cowering back in a corner somewhere and it's time to come out from among that, arise from the ashes and declare, I shall live and not die, and declare the works of the Lord. It's time for you to stand and do that which God has called you to do. Hallelujah. God's trying to gather his remnant so he can pour out his spirit. He's not looking for somebody that has it all together. He's not looking for somebody that's so-called qualified. My God, he's just looking for somebody that'll say, Lord, here I am. My God, I was talking to the Brockwells this morning, and I was telling them, I said, I think that's what's wrong with the church today and why we're not at our full potential is because America and our country has got us so built on the idea that we've got to be all that we can be. We've got to use all of our talents and all of our abilities. And I even sat in a college course at a Christian college, and they do a gift testing. This is your gift. If you have this ability, you have this time, this is your gift, blah, 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 blah. And all of mine, from what I have inside of me or however I'm built, says that I ought to be in the background working in the church somewhere. And when they went around the room asking what we were all called to do, I said, I'm a preacher. He looked at my little gift test. And he said, well, he said, this shows you ought to be in the background. Maybe you need to question your calling. And went on to say that God wants you to be in your comfort zone. God wants you to be comfortable. And I'm thinking to myself, I've never seen one time in the Bible where anybody that was called by God was comfortable. Jesus himself had to come out of his comfort zone to come down here and to save the lost. But see, that's where the world we live in has us. It's all about what can you do within yourself? What are you able to do? And God's not looking for your ability. He's looking for your humility. He's looking for somebody that'll be humble. He's looking for somebody that'll say, Lord, I can't talk in front of everybody. Lord, I can't teach. God, I can't do this. God, I can't do that. Lord, I don't know how to do this. But somehow there's gifts that are stirring in you. And many of you sitting here have had dreams and visions and ideas of something. You say, well, I'll just leave that for the pastor. But God said, no, I'm calling you. If you'll humble yourself, I will strengthen that weakness in your life and I will use it for my glory. And I'm a testimony today that if you'll let God bring you to that place of security, he'll take your weakness and he'll make it your strength. And that's what God wants to do for the church. He wants to bring them to a place of security that when you stand in your gift, when you stand in your calling, whether that's a homeless ministry or whether that's a rest home ministry or whether it's getting out in the streets and preaching the word or it's in the church doing work, whatever it is, be secure in knowing that God's called you. If he called you, he'll put the words in your mouth. I said he'll put the words in your mouth. He'll give you the ideas and the visions that you need to do that which you've been called to do. God's wanting to take this church to a different level. But some of you are going to have to get on board. Don't let the pastor do it all by himself. Don't let the leadership in this church do it all by themselves. Come beside them. You know, that's what the church is for, not just for us to get some preaching, teaching, and singing and go home. The church is to empower you to be fulfilled to do your calling. And that's what you need to do. Number one, if you can't grasp the vision of this body and what this pastor has in this church, you need to go find you another church. Amen. There's one pastor, one vision. And we ought to get up under that vision and then see, God, what can you want to do in me to see that vision fulfilled? And that's what God wants to do in some people's lives. I feel it so strong in this house. He wants to bring you to a place of security where you can rest in his arms. and know that it's going to be all right. Hallelujah. This verse tells, I'm going to gather my remnant from all the places they've been scattered. I'm going to gather my remnant from all the places that they are. And I'm going to bring them back again into my fold. And they shall be fruitful. They shall be fruitful. I want somebody to know today that the fruit of your labor is soon to be revealed. Some of you have been pouring out. Some of you have been pouring out. I ain't talked to your pastor. He ain't talked to me. So you can't say that we've been talking and I'm telling all your business up here is God talking to you, because I don't know you from Adam, most of you. But some of you have been pouring out in this church and pouring out and pouring out. And you almost feel like you're dry and empty from all that you've been pouring out. And you're saying, God, is it mattering to anybody? Does anybody care what I'm doing? Does anybody see what I'm doing? Is it really doing any good? Is that same old bulletin I'm printing every week doing any good? Is that same old lesson I'm teaching in Sunday school doing any good? Lord, is that same old song that we're singing in the service, is it doing any good? That same old carpet cleaning we're doing every week, is it doing any good? The same old sound equipment work I'm doing every week, is it doing any good? Does it matter to anybody? And the Lord says, yes, yes, yes. Because in Galatians, he told us, do not grow weary in well-doing. And for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. And what I hear the Lord speaking to the church, and what he's saying to Biltmore Church of God tonight, is that your fruit is getting ready to be revealed. Keep on working. Keep on pressing. Keep on sowing those seeds. Keep on watering that plant, because eventually it's going to burst forth in the blooms that you've been praying for. Eventually the souls are going to come in. Eventually you're going to see the fruit of your labor. Hallelujah. Somebody give him praise in this house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mama or daddy, that prayer's not been in vain for your children. Grandma and grandpa, the prayers for your family has not been in vain. God's hearing the cries. My God, if nobody else sees it, God does, and that's the only one that matters. My Lord, who cares what people have to say about you? I know we all like a pat on the back every once in a while, but I want a pat on the back from the Father. All that matters to me is that when I get to heaven and I hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But you know what? I believe God's about to send some fruit into our churches again. When we get the desire for more of God, God's going to get the desire to bless his people. Amen. And when we get our priorities in order and put God where he belongs, he can't help but to show forth his glory, because he said it in his word. And he's bound to what he said. My God. Hallelujah. He said, you shall be fruitful and increase. And then he said, I'm going to place pastors over you who are going to feed you. Pastors over you. Shepherds that are going to feed you, and you will not have to fear anymore. Nor be dismayed, and neither shall they be lacking. God wants to bring you to a place where you're not afraid. God wants to bring this church to a place, my Lord, to where you can walk forward in the power of the Holy Ghost as a body together. My God, it's not my church or your church, it's his church. It's not about who has this position or who's singing that or who's teaching that. It's all about the glory of God. And if we'd quit getting to the place where we're fighting against each other and we'll start fighting for each other, we can begin to see things take place. If the churches would gather together, if the people in Biltmore Church would gather together closer than ever before, maybe you need to go to somebody and say, you know what? I'm tired of fussing and fighting and feuding over this. Let's come together in the house of the Lord. And instead of fighting against you, I'm going to fight for you. Instead of fighting against what you think and what I think and what you believe and what I believe, let's just join hand in hand and declare in the name of Jesus, for God I'll live and for God I'll die. It's time for us to get unified. If we want to see the glory of God fall, we got to get in one mind with one accord. If we want to see the power of the Holy Ghost made known, it's time for us to get together and get our minds fixed on Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Some of you keep, I didn't mean to get here, but I'm here, and I'm leaving after tonight, so you don't have to worry about me no more. But some of y'all work walking in this same old circle like this. Same old vicious cycle, up and down and all around. One week I'm shouting, one week I'm down. One week I got the victory, the next week I'm down. One week everything's going good, the next week everything's going bad. Up and down, up and down. This is for somebody here, I don't know who it's for, but God said in Galatians also, this is paraphrasing, but he said, if you bring a gift and lay it upon mine altar, and somebody has aught against you. Not if I have aught against them, but if they have aught against me. He said, I want to even accept your gift that you've laid upon mine altar until you've went and made that thing right. He said, leave your gift there and go make it right. Then come back and I'll receive it from you. We got to learn that word, S-O-R-R-Y. That one's really hard to come out, ain't it? Especially in a good old marriage fight. Hallelujah. Getting a little debacle. Nobody wants to say that you're wrong. Amen. You have to say, sorry. Ain't that right, baby? But you got to learn that word when there's people that are against you. And even though you feel like, I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't do nothing wrong. You still got to learn that word, sorry, and make that thing right with them. Those people that came against me, those church folk that came against me, they never said sorry to me. But when God put that scripture in my heart and it got a hold of me, I sent out a message to all of them. I sent out a letter to them and apologized for anything I'd done against them. And I hope we can make our relationship amends and move on from here. Church, if you want to get out of that vicious cycle, you want to get out of being up all night and can't sleep and can't rest, forgive and move on. Apologize to that person, make things right with them and move on, and watch God bring you out of the place of fear into a place of security, a place of being afraid, and then into a place of being fruitful in the presence of God. That's the best thing I can give you. If you want to go to another level and you feel like you're being stuck, go tell some people you're sorry. Forgive some people. I bet they're sleeping better than you are. They're not worried about what they did to you. So why are you going to let what they did to you destroy you? You can either let it make you or you can let it break you. You can let it take you out like I about let it take me out and just end my life. But then God came in the midst and I allowed that thing to take me to another level. And it showed me that, and it let me know that no person and nobody and no thing from hell can stop what thus saith the Lord. So stand strong in the power of his might through this and continue to be faithful. Do all that you can to clear everything out of your life and say, God, here I am. Do what you will. Get in unity with your fellow brothers and sisters. I know that's not popular preaching and it's not shouting ground, but once you get there, it is shouting ground. I can think of times that I had hardness of feeling. I'm here. I don't know how, but I'm here. I've had hardness of feelings toward people. And I can think of in a service two different occasions that bondage of having past hurt and holding on to grudges, it literally just flew off of me. I'll never forget it. Because I finally got to a place that I said, you know what, I'm going to forgive them and move on. And that I was able to go to that person and hug them and love them like nothing ever happened. And did I let them walk back in my life and walk all over me again? No. You can't be stupid, amen. Still got to hold your boundaries. Christians are good people, but we're not doormats. Hallelujah. You forgive and you move on. Don't let that thing keep you up at night. Let God lift that heaviness off of you so you can walk out of the hurt and you can walk back into his fold without restraint. That you can walk back into a church, and if God calls you to that church, you can join up with them. And just because something happened at another church ain't going to stop me from doing what God wants me to do here at the Biltmore Church. Hallelujah. We got to get back into the fold and fulfill God's calling over our lives. He said, you'll be fruitful and increase. He said, I'm going to set pastors over you that are going to feed you, they're going to nourish you, that you won't have to be afraid, that you won't have to be in doubt, that you know it's a God thing. And then he said, they shall be lacking nothing. In other words, God says, I'm ready to take my remnant to another level. I'm ready to take them to a place where they won't be in need of anything. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. God is wanting to bless his remnant that have stayed faithful in a time. Now, I could be wrong, and I'm about to shut up because I know some of y'all are tired of hearing me tonight. But I could be wrong right here, but I believe we've been in a season of the great falling away. So many people don't care about church anymore. So many people, we talked about it today. My church, I have a wonderful church, but they come in shifts, first, second, and third. First Sunday, the first shift comes. Second Sunday, the second shift comes. Yeah. People are in and out, up and down, and all around. They don't care about church anymore. We're in that season, I believe, a lot of people that I saw when I grew up in the church, and they were full of the power of God. Now any of them could care less about the power of God. Now some of them are not even in church anymore. So many people have thrown in the towel. They've given up. And there's just been a remnant that has stuck in here, and we're tired. We're weary. We say, God, what's the point in going on? What's the point in preaching? Nobody cares about it. What's the point in giving my all? Nobody's listening. But there's a remnant that has stuck it out. There's a remnant that has stayed faithful to the church in tithes and in giving. There's a remnant that has stayed faithful in prayer and intercession. There's a remnant that's been calling out the names of those who are wayward and are done without Christ. Oh, there's people who have stuck in here and they've given all they've got in spite of it all. And God says, I've seen your faithfulness in the midst of weariness. And I know that you've been in a place where you feel like you've been in a season of not enough. And here's what I hear the Lord speaking to the church today, is that the season of not enough is getting ready to end. And the season of more than enough is getting ready to come to the church. God's about to pour out a blessing that we cannot contain. God's about to pour out miracles, signs, and wonders like we've never seen before. It's coming to the remnant that'll get sold out for God. And I don't declare this season that I'm in, I can't stay here anymore. I've got to have an outpouring of the power of the Holy Ghost. Church, it's up to us. We can let the revival that God is promising pass us by, or we can get in on what He's about to do. Biltmore Church, I feel within all my heart and my spirit that this revival was ordained by God. God came to stir some people up and wake some people up and declare that old things have passed away. Behold, all things are coming new. God wants to take this church to another level. And the season of not enough, and I'm not talking about just the church, but everybody connected to the church, because when the church gets blessed as a whole, everybody connected to the church gets blessed by God. When the church sends a blessing, when God sends a blessing to the church, then it blesses the families. And then the individuals of the families get blessed. And God's wanting to say to you tonight, the season of not enough spiritual moving of His Spirit is getting ready to come to a close. The season of not enough finances is getting ready to come to a close. The season of not enough of His glory is getting ready to come to a close. The season of lacking is getting ready to end. And the season of more than enough is about to begin for the remnant of God that's ready to see His glory. Will you stand with me tonight? And will you just lift your hands toward heaven and say, God, what you have done in this house this week. God, what you've done within us these last few services. God, we ask you to let it resonate within us. God, let us go home for this revival. And God, let us be set ablaze to spend more time with you. God, let us be encouraged, Lord, to go after you greater than we ever have before. God, let your glory, let your anointing be revealed in our lives. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Church, we're in the greatest harvest we could ever be in. America is now considered a place where people come and do mission trips to try to reach people for Jesus. The harvest is bright and it's plentiful. People are dying and going to hell all around us. We've got an opportunity. But where many people are missing and many church doors are closing is because so many don't want to change their methods. And what I mean by that is that we can't just sit in here and wait on them to come to us anymore. That day's over. We can't just sit in the church and wait for them to walk in. We got to get outside the four walls. And we got to bring them in. God's calling us to go out and bring them in. And the places that I'm seeing the most greatest outpourings, I'm seeing churches on the thrive end of things, are the churches that are getting outside the four walls and bringing them in. And there's nothing like seeing somebody get saved for the first time. There's nothing like seeing somebody being set on fire by the power of the Holy Ghost for the first time. It'll set an excitement throughout the church. And it'll remind us, that's how I'm supposed to be praising God. That's how I'm supposed to be worshiping. Will you just lift your hands all over this house? And just let the Holy Ghost move within you right now. Let the Holy Ghost resonate within you. Let those visions that are deep down inside of you say there's no way that'll happen. Let that come to life again. Let some of them old prayers you used to pray that you forgot about, let them be resonated within you again. Let that burden for ministry and burden for lost souls resonate within you again. Let God breathe a fresh wind within you to do His work like never before. Holy Ghost, have your way. Spirit of God, renew, refresh, and revive. Lord, help us get a heart for lost souls again. God, give us a heart and a burden to do more now than we ever have before in your work, in your church. Oh, God, stir the fire. Stir the flame, God. In the mighty name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, we yield to you, Almighty God. We yield to you, Almighty God. Come on, somebody, let him go down deep. He's working on some people in this house. Let him go down deep tonight. Come on, some of you need to go back to that calling at 9 years old, that calling at 15 or 16 years old. Go back to that burden you had. Go back to where he spoke to you the first time. He said, I've not forgotten my calling. He said, I've not forgotten the word I've placed over you. I've not forgotten that ministry that I told you I was going to fulfill in your life. Oh, oh, yea, my child, for I've called you for such a time as this. My anointing is upon you. The work is laid before you. I'm opening doors before you, and I need you to walk in that which I've called you to. Do not any longer sit in the place of complacency. Don't sit back in fear or worry or doubt, but know that I have called you, and I am yearning you to come forward. Go forward without regret, without restraint, saith the Lord. For I have spoken, and if I have said it, I will sustain you, saith the Lord. For I have placed you here to do my work. I placed you here to go far beyond what you're doing even now, saith God. So step out on faith. Step out on what I've given you. Step out on my word and fear no one, saith the Lord. For what I've spoken shall come to pass through your obedience, saith the Lord of hosts. Well, somebody worship him right there. Somebody worship him. Somebody needed that today. Thank you, God. Yeah, this is real revival right here, church. This is real revival. We're empowered to go out and do that which he's called us to do. He's encouraging some people in this place. Your fruit is not in vain. The labor is not in vain. You're soon to see that which he's got prepared for you. I want to open up these altars right now while the Spirit's moving. If you say, preacher, I'm right there with you. I'm a part of the remnant. And I'm ready to do more now for God than I've ever done in my life. Whatever it takes, that's what I'm willing to do. If it involves me getting out of my comfort zone, if it involves me doing something I've never done before. Maybe you're tired and you're weary from pouring out, but you say, today, I'm declaring God sent this revival to fill me up. And I'm going to do all that God wants me to do until He calls me home. If you fall under either of those categories, I want you to come tonight and stand at this altar. If you're ready to be used of God greater than ever before, you're ready to step into your calling. You're ready to step into the vision and the ministry that God's laid before you. You're ready to do more for God. You're ready to use this revival to be your launching path to where you're getting ready to go in Him. I want you to get out of your seat and come tonight. Oh,